Hi, I'm Tim Cole, and I posted this in early November. It's called Uber, BuzzFeed, and the Future of Journalism. Newspapers are dying, and so what else is new? New Orleans, a metropolis of some 380,000, number 51 in the list of the largest U.S. cities, is without its own daily since the Times-Picayune went online only in May 2012. Previously, the Detroit News cut the frequency of its print edition to 3 days a week. The newspaper industry as a whole has shed at least a fifth of its journalists since 1971, and no end in sight. On the other hand, blogging has largely taken over as the prime source of news and commentary for many digital netizens, and not only just the very young ones either. Publishers regularly bemoan this at conventions and trade shows, and I suppose on the principle of if you can't beat 'em, join 'em, the German mass circulation Bild-Zeitung now relies increasingly on what they call reader reporters for breaking news and exclusive images taken by someone with a smartphone and the luck to be on the spot at the right moment. In fact, they pay amateurs more than they do professional photographers. The New York Times famously still claims to run all the news that's fit to print. But that is obviously an exaggeration, since paper pages can only hold so much text, while websites and bloggers' homepages are indefinitely extendable. And your idea of what's fit to print may be very different from that of anti-Times. But is there a difference in quality, at least? To get my first job as a reporter, I had to undergo a 2-year apprenticeship, living and reporting from hick towns out in the boondocks, interviewing old-timers who had just turned 90, noting down fat stock prices, listening to town commissioners droning on for hours, or covering the latest deadly car crash on Saturday night. I graduated to a big town daily and went on to become a professional reporter for Bild, where I reached an audience of 3 or 4 million every day. By now, I can claim to know what I'm doing as a journalist, including what rules serious journalists play by, what you can and can't do in print, and most of the ethical and legal points involved in these decisions. Over the past 2 or 3 decades, ever since I went freelance and found out that publishers are increasingly unwilling to pay me enough to survive on the proceedings of my news-gathering and editorializing talent, I have been forced to moonlight at times as a media trainer. Managers and CEOs, often of quite very big companies, hire me to teach them the ins and outs of journalism and how to avoid some stupid mistakes when dealing with reporters. I lecture them about the growing importance of bloggers and warn against the perils of Twitter and Facebook. In one of my standard slides, it says, "Beware of tech journalists. Most of them aren't. No one ever taught them to be journalists. In fact, they're sometimes as dangerous as a kid with a loaded Kalashnikov." I was reminded rather forcefully of this when reading about the ongoing feud between Uber's pugnacious CEO Travis Kalanick and BuzzFeed's editor-in-chief Ben Smith, who reported that Uber wants to investigate the private lives of critical journalists, presumably as a way to muzzle them. Uber's caught a lot of flack recently with its aggressive strategy for sabotaging Lyft, its nearest competitor, and for tracking riders without permission. Since Uber wants to go public sometime soon, this is all potentially very damaging to their still-to-be-determined stock market price. So Kalanick wasn't exactly very gentle and didn't pull his punches in dealing with the tech press. In fact, it turns out the threat from Uber's senior VP, Emil Michael, to, quote, "give the press a taste of its own medicine," end quote, was apparently distilled from a semi-private talk with BuzzFeed editor Smith at a dinner that Uber hosted in a New York restaurant, which was billed as off the record. If true, then this is a break of both a basic journalistic rule and common courtesy to your host. All this, by the way, is meticulously documented in a blog post by Michael Wolff at USA Today, who was there. Smith, of course, is actually a pro, having started out on the crime beat for the Indianapolis Star and later worked for the Wall Street Journal and the New York Daily News. But his heart has beaten in recent years for the blogosphere, where he helped to found 3 of the leading New York City political blogs, Politiker, The Daily Politics, and Room 8. In 2011, he left his Politico blog to take over at BuzzFeed. In any case, Smith is part of the burgeoning blog movement, and as such, more or less an unlicensed reporter. Many others lack most of or all of his qualifications, so his flaunting of the rules is especially odious if true. Like all web content, blogs can range from extremely informative to mere low-budget advertisement, and anonymity adds a cloak to some of the self-serving or possibly corrupt bloggers, so most of what is written online should be taken with more than just a pinch of salt. Unfortunately, too many assume the same ethics are practiced in the blogosphere, notes the self-appointed librarian of the internet, findingdulcinea.com. Whether Uber is in fact out to get journalists, or maybe Emil Michael just had a few too many, we may never know for sure. But the resulting storm in a water glass, or a wine glass for that matter, should remind us all that bloggers, while becoming a major source of information and orientation for all of us, are not always qualified journalists. And there are fewer and fewer of those around, thanks to the efforts of publishers, or at least their controllers, to put them out of business. One day, they and we will all be sorry. But by then, of course, it will be too late.